the mesmerizing sound of tonight's featured artist, British-Asian clarinetist Arun Ghosh, as part of today's Indo Jazz Special. We'll hear highlights of his performance at this year's South Coast Jazz Festival. To whet your appetite, an early recording of Arun's that brought him to the attention of jazz fans across the world. Released on Giles Peterson's Brownswood label, this is Aurora. Clarinet wonder Arun Ghosh with Aurora, featured on the Brownswood Bubblers 3 album. And we'll be hearing more from Arun a little later on with highlights from his concert set, which includes a moving tribute to David Bowie, performed a couple of weeks after his death. Now we move to one of the standout Indo-Jazz formations, and Shakti, which combines the talents of the legendary Yorkshire-born guitarist John McLaughlin with Vikku Vinayakaram on percussion and vocals, El Shankar on violin and vocals, and the irrepressible Zakir Hussain on tablas. Shakti take the skills of virtuosity, rhythmic sophistication, and phrasing abundant in Indian classical music, aligns and transforms McLaughlin's jazz brilliance to find the common ground that make this group a marvel and a unique experience. The music blossoms in jazz and is still relevant to its Indian classical heritage. This is Les Danses du Bonheur. Thank you. La Danse du Bonheur from Shakti, recorded in 1976 for the album A Handful of Beauty. Just a portion of the wealth of influences that chime with our featured artist, Arun Ghosh. The textures, colours and rhythms of Indian classical and folk music have always held a particular fascination with jazz artists. We heard the music of John McLaughlin with Shakti, and giants such as composer Duke Ellington, John and Alice Coltrane, saxophonist Yusuf Lateef, and guitarist John Mayer, who, along with saxophonist Joe Harriet, coined the term Indo-Jazz fusions. They've all found inspiration from the East, and from India in particular. Contemporary artists such as saxophonists Courtney Pine and Andy Shepherd draw on the Eastern influence, and one of the most celebrated artists with strong Indian artistic and cultural reflections is the composer and pianist Zoe Rahman. Incubated in a musically rich household, she grew up with the songs of her Bengali father's homeland and the sound of the core classical piano repertoire alongside her beloved jazz. This is Down to Earth. Thank you. Down to Earth, featuring the gutsy piano of Zoe Rahman, with Gene Calderazzo on drums and Ollie Hayhurst on bass, from her excellent album Kindred Spirits. Now, two of Zoe's siblings are musicians. Her sister Sophie is a classical pianist, and brother Idris is an accomplished saxophonist who appears alongside Arun on our concert set highlights. On FM, online, and on digital radio, this is Jazz Lineup with me, Julian Joseph, with a special edition focusing on Indo jazz from Britain and from further afield. Let's now turn to our featured artist. Arun Ghosh has been steadily gaining ground after being selected as part of the Gerwood PRS initiative for emerging jazz artists in 2008. His music combines the soul of his Indian roots with his British upbringing. Now based in London, and firmly established on the worldwide music scene, Arun emerged from Manchester, a fully-fledged clarinet virtuoso with a band that combines many influences with Indian sounds, grooves, and songs perfectly absorbed into his jazz conception with energy and intensity. Before we hear the music, let's join Jazz Lineup's Kevin Legendre, who caught up with Arun at the 2016 South Coast Jazz Festival.
So I'm backstage at the Rope Tackle Arts Centre in Shoreham-by-Sea at the second annual South Coast Jazz Festival. It's the penultimate evening and Arun Ghosh has just done a storming set to close the evening to a standing ovation, rapturous applause. Arun, it was a great night and you seem to be in your element.
It was a real pleasure to be here. I mean, jazz festivals in general are great places to play because what happens is you have the real jazz heads, but you also have kind of people just coming to check it out from the town and from different towns in the area. And so I was playing to people who often said that they hadn't really heard any jazz before, or they certainly hadn't heard the clarinet being played like that. It was a very fresh audience for me. And so that was why it was so wonderful. I think all of my band, really, we really love communicating, and we sort of felt that we had a very attentive and receptive audience throughout who were also kind of really urging us on, you know, to kind of give it more.
And your group, six piece with electric bass and electric guitar, mm-hmm. and the three horns and drums, it packed a real punch, had a real energy.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And I suppose in some ways I am known for my group having quite a full-on big sound, but it's very important to me to sort of play softly and present that side to me. And so I always enjoy those moments.
So in terms of the range of elements in the music, which mm-hmm. is wide to say the least, mm-hmm. there's the rock. Mm-hmm. Occasionally we can hear almost like a hip-hop funk groove. Mm-hmm. One of the other great highlights of mm-hmm. the set as well, obviously, which is very topical, was the version of David Bowie's The Man Who Sold mm-hmm. the World. And it was very interesting that you made the point that you came to that piece not through Bowie, but through Nirvana. Mm-hmm. Which is testament to Bowie's influence, the fact that several generations of musicians drew from his music and have passed on his music to other generations. And that, it seemed to be a very emotionally charged moment when you played that. You just arranged it recently for yourself and Chris Williams on alto sax and Idris Rahman on tenor sax.
I arranged it over the last two evenings approaching the gig. I've been on tour doing a theatre show, and just in the evenings I put my headphones on and started writing that. I wanted to play the main melodic line myself. I wanted to stay true to the structure of that. I really enjoy playing vocal songs on the clarinet, and if you listen to it, you'll hear all those words. I'm saying all those words in my head or singing them while I'm playing. That's really important to me. When I arranged it, I wanted it to be stripped down. Sometimes, you know, as a band, we'll do covers, Jimi Hendrix, or we've even done Johnny Cash tunes. You know, I really enjoy just being a pub rock band sometimes. But with this one, I wanted this to be different. Obviously, Bowie was such an otherworldly, other human. You know, he was like a different species almost in terms of how he presented himself, what his music sounded like. He was a really amazing spirit, and I think people have really known that and sensed that, and I suppose in his passing we've become increasingly aware of it. And then you go back to a lot of the music that he made, also the music he made really recently, you know, such as Lazarus and the whole Black Star album, and you just think, this is so soulful, you know, there's so much he's channeling sound and emotion, and he did that for years, since 1969 or so, probably earlier. And so for me, this was very clear that this wasn't a cover. This was my arrangement of that song, and I didn't want to do it with the band. I just wanted my boys, you know, Chris and Idris to play it with me. Idris sort of on the tenor sort of almost somehow took the bass line role, and Chris sometimes weaved around playing the riff, playing harmonic phrases, sometimes harmonising with the melodic line. And I feel that when you have three horns playing like that, there's something very powerful about it. The breath, the thing that passes through you, the way that we breathe together, the way I've played with those two guys for years now, and they really understand how I want to phrase something, how to shape something. We didn't look at each other when we played. We just breathed together, and we were totally together.
Well, to my ear, it sounded like a choir.
Oh, well, that's lovely you feel that way, and that's what I think wind instruments, when they play together, can do. And that's why I love having this three-horn front line always. Whenever possible, I will do that, because I think you hear a lot in jazz of the classic kind of, you know, say, for example, Miles and Wayne Shorter together, or Miles and Coltrane, you know. But I think when you have three horns together, so when you had Miles, Cannonball Adderley and Coltrane together, the way those three horns work is wonderful. And that very much takes me... I've always loved doing that. And I modelled that on the Bismillah Khan sound, where he played solo Chennai and he had two other Chennai players accompanying him, doubling the melody and playing in unison and playing supporting drones. And that's how I hear those horns working. So I really do love that. And so to go back to The Man Who Sold the World, it's a very emotional song, and I just feel that I just knew that they would just know exactly how to play it right. And I took the time to really arrange it in quite a lot of detail. So all of the harmonic movement kind of worked, and there was space in it, but that I still wanted the whole song to come through. I wanted us to feel the bass line, to feel the chords, and of course to feel the melody and the words. And I think I'm quite pleased with how it turned out.
Do you perceive the clarinet as an Eastern or a Western instrument? Or maybe both?
Oh, I don't perceive it as either of those things. I mean, I really do genuinely perceive it as an instrument. I mean, I think I came to the clarinet in a Western context through playing classical music and then later playing jazz. But over the years, I've become more and more aware of Balkan tradition, the klezmer tradition, the Turkish tradition, the Greek tradition of clarinet playing, the Russian sound, you know, and of course, going the other way, the New Orleans sound. So
it's kind of universal,
isn't it? It is. I mean, the clarinet is actually really interesting like that as an instrument, and I think just wind instruments in general do have that potential to cross cultures. Because you play it with your mouth, you are able to shape it. I think all instruments are universal, actually, I have to say. I mean, I think if you think, some people would say the violin was obviously almost a typical Western instrument, but when you hear
it in India,
when you hear it played in India, when you hear the erhu played in China, or when you hear a Romani gypsy violinist, you know, or all sorts of things, you know, you know that this is a universal instrument. I think all instruments belong to us all, really. Yeah, they have to, and then it's about the person who's playing them. It's about the music that's being played, and it's about the musical culture that they're a part of and what they're expressing.
The culturally universal Arun Ghosh speaking with Kevin Legendre. And now to the music, recorded at the Rope Tackle Centre, Shoreham by Sea, on Saturday the 23rd of January as part of the 2016 South Coast Jazz Festival. Arun Ghosh is on clarinet, Chris Williams alto saxophone, Idris Rahman is on tenor saxophone, Liran Donin is on bass, Shirley Tete is on electric guitar, and Rasko Rasic is on drums. Arun Ghosh and his sextet start their set with his composition, The Gypsies of Rajasthan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Chris Williams on alto saxophone. Lyran Donin on bass. Rasko Rasic on drums. Idris Rahman on tenor saxophone. And Shirley Tetta on guitar.
I'd like to play a piece of music now written by a great, great, great man who's now sadly no longer with us. Sadly, I say sadly, but his beautiful music and spirit lives on forever. And, you know, David Bowie was an absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful artist, musician, and he inspired very many people over the years, obviously, and we still have so much of him forever. He was so special to all of us, you know, who have played music directly or indirectly. And so I wanted to just do my own little humble arrangement and homage to him. This is a song called The Man Who Sold the World. I've arranged it for myself, Chris and Idris, and I hope you enjoy it. And I think this is the only time we're ever going to play this. And here we go. Thank you.
Thank you, David Bowie, for everything.
Thank you.
Arun Ghosh and his sextet recorded at the 2016 South Coast Jazz Festival, with Chris Williams on alto saxophone, Idris Rahman on tenor saxophone, Liran Donin on bass, Shirley Tete on electric guitar, Rasko Rasic on drums, and Arun Ghosh on the clarinet. And for all the selections played on today's show, check out the Jazz Lineup webpage via the Radio 3 website. And exciting news now for jazz fans. Jazz Lineup will be at the Blue Lamp Jazz Club in Aberdeen on the 30th of April for a special live broadcast featuring two great bands for International Jazz Day. They are saxophonist Stan Saltzman, who will be there with his quartet featuring pianist Kit Downs, bassist Connor Chaplin, and drummer Tim Giles. Also on the bill, emerging Scottish talent bassist Gus Stirrat. Tickets are free, and for more information, check out the link on the Jazz Lineup page or visit bbc.co.uk/shows and tours. Well, that's almost the end for this week's show. Remember, you can catch Radio 3's new show, Jazz Now, on Monday nights at 11. To finish, let's hear from another British Asian, bassist Shez Raja. He'll be our guest in 2 weeks' time. And Shez is an electric bassist for whom the funk is an essential element, mixed with Indo jazz for a groove experience delivered with energy from his collective. From his brand new album, Gurutopia, this track features US guitar hero Mike Stern. This is Rabbits. Till next time, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.